guys, welcome back to Beyond the Barbell, brought to you by Reebok, the official sponsor of CrossFit and the CrossFit Games. I am Ben Alderman.
I'm Blair Morrison. We're standing up atop Wadapalooza Saturday morning with Andrea Egger. She's fresh off her trip to the CrossFit Games, long deserved, long earned. Welcome to the show, Andrea.
Thank you. Andrea Egger here, and this is not a real wall.
That's right. Don't lean on that.
Don't lean on the wall. That's a fake wall.
It's a fake wall. Booby trap wall.
It makes us look cool, though, because all the lights. We're two stories up here at Wadapalooza.
So you're here as a coach spectator this year, right?
Yes. My boyfriend is competing on a scaled team, and I'm so proud of him to even making it here. He's an engineer. He has a full-time job. This is not his focus by any means, but he's lost 20 pounds in the last 2 months. And so he's been really training really hard and eating right. And I like him for a lot more reasons than that he can do a muscle-up. So it's really
but
cool.
It helps that he can do a muscle-up.
It does help. And actually losing 20 pounds really helps his PRing his muscle-ups every week,
which is
super annoying.
Are you his nutrition coach, too? Like, do you tell him what to eat and what
not
to eat?
Actually, that was one of the things that we went through is he was like, hey, do you want to help me with this? He has a friend that's a bodybuilder, and he has a specific diet plan that he could have gone on. And he's like, do you want to help me do the nutrition thing and my workouts and stuff? And he's like, or should I just pay this guy to do it? And, like, as a coach, it would be really normal if I had said, yeah, like, let me just do that for you. But once I saw the amount of work it would take and the amount of, like, it would change our relationship, I'm like, oh, no, you're good. Like, just go with that guy. He's a professional. And then I'm seeing how strict he was. Like, he's asking to see progress pictures every week. He's telling him, oh, you cheated. I can tell. Stuff like that. And I'm like, I never would have done that. I would have just been like, you look great. All right, let's move on. Like, so maybe I wouldn't have been the best person for the job.
So let's go back to the season, you know, the past 2016 season. Talk a little bit about that. Talk about your team and what that experience was like.
So the CrossFit Games, making it back, made it in 2011. So 2016, 5 years later, after trying to go individual and going as far as I could with that for as long as I could, I still wasn't giving up on the dream. Like, I wasn't like, all right, you know what, I'm going to go team because it's easier or because I can make it or because, you know, maybe the sport's outgrowing me. It was nothing like that. And in fact, when they came up to me and were like, you know, trying to get me to be on this team that was almost fully formed, it had five people on it, and they were just looking for one girl, and I was like, oh, you know, like, I'm gonna go individual, this is my year. Like, I was still in that mindset, and I still want that. Like, that's not anything that's floated away from me. Like, I'm still gonna be trying in the future, but at the time I was like, well, is this a good year to take a break from that? And so it was actually cool. They needed someone that was good at running and good at swimming, an endurance athlete that can do everything else, like, pretty okay. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. That's like me in a bucket. I can do everything else, but I wouldn't say gymnastics or weightlifting is a strong point for me, but that's their strong point. So I'm like, heck yeah, like, I'll go in there. You know, I swim in college. I ran in college. I'm like, let's do it. And so got together with Team Dynamics, and the six of us were from all over. Amy Draco was from Australia, Becca Day from Dallas, Texas, and me from Colorado. All of us moved up there. Guys came from all over New York to be on the team, and a lot of commuting, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of like, hey, we could actually win the CrossFit Games was like what was said every hour to convince us all to be on the team. And yeah, we did it. So
yeah, and you guys finished
fourth.
Fourth, man.
Fourth, just
so
on the podium.
Good. I know.
7 points away from the podium. It hurt.
It was an exciting season or like event at the CrossFit Games with the teams, because the teams were shuffling around day to day, and the top five. Like, I mean, you guys got as high as what, second?
Yeah, we were in second at one point. Yeah.
And it just kept going back and forth. It was really cool to watch.
It was really fun, and honestly, we hate the worm. We hate it, but our coach made us do it all the time. So whenever Christian Harris was actually there in person, because he lived an hour and a half away, so whenever he could come in, which was 3 or 4 days a week, we had to do the worm every time we saw him. So we coordinated the worm with him. We're like, dang it, Christian, I hate seeing your face, because that means we have to do the worm today.
Every time.
Yeah, every time. And so, you know, a lot of teams actually don't practice that much, and if they do it, it's like, you know, they only start doing it after regionals once they've made it. We started doing the worm in February, so we were doing it during the open. So we do the open workouts, and then we'd have to practice on that thing, and it showed, because once we got to the games, there was an event that was mostly worm dominated, and we had you know, rope climbs and the worm. We ended up getting, I think, second or third in the entire event, but like the entire beginning of it, we were in first like the whole time, and we ended up tap and going the worm, which had never been done before in the CrossFit Games. And so we were like, I wonder if that's even possible. people. And we had seen people try and it just gone horribly. And so we practiced E-moms, a tap and go on the worm, clean and jerks, thrusters, squat cleans, tap and go squat cleans. I mean, it was like, you know, it creates a lot of tension on the team because everyone's always like, you weren't pulling, or this person was late, or this person's not even trying, or we have four people on the worm right now because two people are tired. It creates a lot, but I mean, it was so fun to finally have a payoff at the games.
How long were those training sessions?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so this was our schedule from January all the way until July, so 7 months. Every morning from about 9 to 10:30, so about an hour and a half of just endurance. So we would do running, rowing, or swimming. Then at 12, we would start our normal CrossFit day practice, and we'd go all the way to 4. So there's a lot of fitness you can do in 4 hours.
Wow, that's a long time.
It is. And that was every day, so we always knew that we were going to have to get up and suffer through running, rowing, or swimming. We're like, all right, just get through it. Eat breakfast, chill, hang out for a few hours. Started at 12. I mean, that's your whole day. By the time 4 o'clock came, all of us coached evening classes as well. And so we're like, all right, we are completely dead. We haven't showered. We're disgusting. Let's go teach some people how to fitness for a few hours and give them everything else we have left and then go pass out and meal prep.
Was there somebody helping you guys in your nutrition, like getting you guys your food that you need? Or?
Yes, we had a lot of people that helped us. And, you know, we had companies and sponsors that supported us from all over. And we ended up actually being able to raise a lot of money because it's actually very expensive to, I mean, creating a super gym in general because we all had to move there. And then on top of that, you know, even just being able to eat and travel and go to the games and all that, it just costs a lot. So Armatron came on, and we had some awesome meal companies with us. And we all pretty much ate the same thing. A lot of us did RP Strength. And helped everybody get awesome results. I just want to throw that in there. But it was a really cool process. And we all are coaches ourselves. So that was a cool thing that we got to do, is just help each other. I mean, Christian Harris and Becca Day are some of the strongest people in the game. And they got to help us with our weightlifting. And all of us got to contribute at some point with coaching. So
was it, because it was such a sacrifice and so expensive, like you said, is it a one-off thing? Or is that like the only time we're going to see that team dynamics?
Yeah, and I think hopefully we'll be back in 2018. That's our goal. But for this next year, I mean, it's just impossible. I mean, that whole year was 7 months of our lives where it was just like we felt like we were professional athletes. We're like, this is our job. This is our focus. And it was an awesome experience, but a lot of stress from other parts of your life come from focusing on fitness, right? I mean, all of our relationships were not, I wouldn't say struggling, but they're just hanging on. It's like, right. Oh my gosh, get through the season, right? And then on top of that, it's a lot of support from everyone else, and that, you know, so it creates a family, but you know, it can only go on for so long. And 7 months was our max, and we had all set in the beginning. All right, we're going for 1 year. We're going for the podium. Like, let's do it. I don't think you can get on the podium or even get close unless you try to win the games. Now you can't get fourth without trying to be first. If you try to get 10th, you're going to get 16th, you know, 26th, something like that. So it's always right. Like shoot for gold and really, really focus on the top and try to see if you can get there. So
now, I mean, you already mentioned that you were brought on for like a specific role. Like you filled the endurance role and a girl who could also do and not be a liability on other things.
Yeah, I can
what
do
was
other
that,
things.
What was that like having a role rather than having to carry the load of doing those other things like on your own, like as an individual athlete?
It was awesome, actually, because I feel like our team was perfectly specialized. So a lot of people just have an awesome CrossFitters on their team, and I would say Mayhem is an example of that. It's people that are actually very well-rounded, and they grind, right? Whereas we had, you know, I would say liabilities, sure, a little bit, and those showed up in some events. But yeah, there was a lot of running at the games, and we were a strong team. I would say 4 out of the 6 of us have a lot of experience cycling a barbell, and so you know, at regionals we got first, and that was, you know, still to this day one of my most exciting days of my life was experiencing that. And and I think that, you know, if the events at the games, you know, the way they turned out, there wasn't a max event. If there was a max event, we would have been able to put on a hell of a show. But you know, the way they turned out, I'm like, we did pretty dang good getting fourth place in a workout, you know, in a bunch of workouts where a lot of it was tested endurance. So
as the endurance specialist, so to speak, on your team, like, how did you prepare 4 out of 6 barbell cyclers to handle that?
Okay, well, so
other than the hour and a half of rowing or bike riding every day.
Right. I mean, that's like multiple intervals, too. It's not always that long. But Ian Berger was one of the endurance guys as well. And so him and I, they called us the painkillers. Yep. So we were like, all right, so when we had something nasty like aerodyne, rowing, running, something like just gross, right? It's like, okay, they're going to do the most of it. And it, when we would cycle through, we would pick things to where, all right, if someone, if we have more to do, put them on it again. Like, just put them through it. They can repeat. And so that was always our role. And then in addition to that, swam all throughout my life and was, you know, somewhat of a swimming mentor to one of my teammates especially, but the rest as well. So that was a cool thing to be able to kind of go, this is a vulnerable part of fitness where people that are CrossFitters, they don't have to be good at swimming. And they maybe never grew up what I did, where we swam all the time when we were kids because it was like, get in the pool. It's hot. Go get in the pool, you know?
6 a.m.
We swam in lakes, like whatever. So it was awesome to just be able to teach the very beginner basics of swimming all the way up to now we're getting in the ocean and there's waves and that's super scary and we're going to get in there. We're going to power through it together.
I see my problem, right? Like, I was trying to get better at endurance, and I'm like, they do an hour and a half every single morning. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Like, okay, well, I'm really not trying to get better at endurance.
Well,
we had
one day that was completely off, and that was Friday.
Okay, so 4 days.
And then we had one day, which was much less CrossFit. So it was just, I would say, more of a rest recovery day. But 5 days on were hard. And every weekend, what we did was we tested all the CrossFit Games events. Every weekend from January to July. And so my very first weekend I showed up.
I know. You did the CrossFit Games every weekend?
Yes, okay. Or regionals. And don't worry, we didn't only do the workouts. Our coach, Justin Kotler, absolute mastermind. He actually would, my first weekend in town, I had just moved from Colorado. Hi, guys. My name's Andrea. I've never met a lot of you. You know, I'm thinking the first time he's going to look at our movement, decide what our roles are. I didn't know what was going to happen. But it's still January. I'm not in peak shape, okay? Haven't done a bar muscle up in like 3 months because I just didn't care. And so I'm like, all right, like, let's get moving. Like, let's get training. First day, we're literally doing the finals from the 2014 CrossFit Games and comparing our times to the people that won that event, okay? And he's choosing and strategizing of who he would put where, and that was his role. And I would say Justin Kotler is a serious, I already said it, mastermind. I would compare him to an NFL football coach because of his focus, his passion, the way that he doesn't sleep and all he does is watch film. I'm like, it's amazing that we had someone that was that dedicated for us, and he took a lot out of his life. And even though he wasn't competing, or, you know, I would consider him, you know, he's not an athlete, but he was focused on us. And I think that that's something very different that no team has really had. I don't think as a super team to kind of go, hey, I'm adopting these people. This is now, these are my children. I'm their dad, and like, we're in this for the next year.
You know who else did that? Was NorCal 2 years ago.
Right, with Austin.
Austin was like his whole job. And they were killing everyone.
Yeah.
So maybe there's something to that. I mean, they had great athletes, of course.
But having a coach is that attentive when you have that many, like, super athletes and stellar personalities and dynamics, right? Like,
right.
It's important.
He stepped away from his role as, like, one of the head judges at regionals and the games to be their coach that year.
To be with them. Yeah. And it also takes a lot of submissiveness from the athletes. I guess that's a weird word to use, but I would just say, like, okay, you're the boss.
Well,
you're writing my programming.
Right.
Yeah, and like, there's a lot that goes into that with athletes that have been in the game for a long time. I mean, I've been doing CrossFit for 7 years, and probably 3 out of those 7 years, I was programming for myself and really thought I knew, you know, what I was doing for me, myself. I know myself best. And so I am a little tough, and, you know, when it gets to that kind of stuff. And so for me, it is hard to put my trust, and he easily did prove that, you know, he was capable of you know, adjusting to our different strengths and putting us together and really strategizing. Okay, you know what? I want you to work on this because maybe it's not a whole, but I need you to be able to excel in this. So you go do this. Now you go, you know, and adjust each one of us. So
that was like a really intense year. You had a lot of direction and a lot of teammates. This year you mentioned it not being the same. What is your plan for this year?
So, I mean, that was an awesome experience, and I would love to repeat. However, it was just wasn't, it's not doable for life. Like, I last year put my priorities as athlete, so athletics, and then my second was FaithRx, Impact. I know I even hate that it was second because I wish I could always say it was first, but we're doing other stuff too. And then third was finances. And so, I'm an entrepreneur, I would like to say. I mean, I've created Agerbaum Seminars, and I'm really trying to see where that can go. And I just taught my 60-second seminar like 2 weeks ago.
Awesome.
So 3.5 years, 60 seminars. I mean, it's exciting. And so for me, I'm like, okay, you know what? This year needs to be Business Andrea, changed my hat. That's first. Faith Rex is second. And then for me, third is, this year is athletics. And if that means still competing in regionals, great. If that's where it takes me, I'm going to do that. And even if I can't get top five, top ten like I've always gotten, I'm absolutely going to get out there. However, I did, just from a lot of training this year, I did suffer a minor bulging disc, lower disc in my lower back. So
when was that?
Actually, it happened in February. Not during an open workout, but during my training during the open. And I suffered with it for like 4 months. And so a lot of it was scaling back for me. And once I got to regionals, I felt great.
You know a great way
awesome.
To handle like a bulging disc and scale back? Is to do games workouts and regional workouts every single weekend.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Games
oh
workouts.
My gosh.
That's
I know.
The way to do it.
I know, but
that's
my teammates are very understanding.
Did.
And like, they're, when I was doing my baby weights and not pulling from the floor, they're like, they don't even know what I'm doing right. I'm probably doing like 95 snatches or something from the blocks. And Becca, you know, she's like, Andrew, that looks awesome. I'm like, I see you snatching 225 right now, and I'm not amused by you say it looking over here, so just ignore me. But at the same time, it was like, hey, I'm doing what I can. I'm here. All my time is here. And so it ended up really paying off.
Right.
So regionals and the games went very well. I would just say right now I'm in the recovery of just trying to heal my back. I want to make it so that I can do CrossFit for the next 6 years. And if I'm going to do that, then I really need to take care of it now. And so I've been doing a lot of avoiding some things that still bother it, which is back squatting. And so my clean and jerk right now is probably 70% of what it was at the games. And I'm okay with that because I'm not going for strength right now. But for me, it's like I'm lifelong in. So can't take me away from this sport. That's not a real wall.
It's not a real wall.
Still not a real wall.
Yeah, so you mentioned taking time to heal your back, focus on your Eger bump. You mentioned your second priority was Faith RX. What is your role within Faith RX, and why is that so important to you?
So I would say I'm on the HQ staff, so at that level where everything is kind of developed, and we teach Iron Sharp and Iron camps. And during those camps, Spencer Arnold teaches the snatch, and I teach the gymnastics, and I love it. I mean, it's so fun. I basically teach what I would normally teach at my own Eger Bomb seminars, but then I get to do it with 60 people instead of 30, and then I get a lot of other trainers to help me around. So it's really, really cool the way that they've really made it to, like, a science, how we have broken down over the last 3 years to kind of make it to... We each have specific roles. We know, like, our list of things to do each day, and a lot goes into it. On top of that, I have moved to New York City, and we started our first chapter, which is basically the local ministry, and it's pouring into people in our CrossFit gym. It's loving people right where they're at. I mean, it's a really cool thing, and it's the first time I've ever been involved in that local side, but that's my boyfriend's. That's his jam. That's his. He was living in New Jersey. We were doing long distance for 4 months. And then when the opportunity came for the team, I'm like, okay, if I move there, I'll be able to see if this is really going to work. And so it kind of felt very divine, very God-driven, like, hey, you're supposed to be on the East Coast now. Let's go. You have 2 weeks to make the decision. Pack your bags. And so, you know, we started at the Faith RX New York City chapter, and it's been amazing to see all the people that come from all over, all the different boroughs. Bronx, Long Island, Brooklyn, Queens. We live in Queens and, you know, Jersey. I mean, even just to commute, just to hear the word, just to get in and have a fun workout, be supported. And then at the end of the night, you know, talk about faith and then break into small groups, 6 or 7 people, and just hear people out. It's like, hey, what's going on in your life? What's important to you? How many kids do you have? Things that I don't get to ask as a coach because I'm too busy, you know, managing a big class, you know, so it was really cool to be able to give back as a coach and focus on people growing in their faith. And if they want to, we're here to do that. So it's been awesome.
We spoke to Becky Konzelman last year about the growth of Faith RX. Obviously, it's her baby.
Awesome interview. I loved it.
Yeah, she's amazing. And she was talking about how these local chapters have a lot of autonomy about the way they run their classes and their, you know, their worships afterwards. And some of them go 2 hours long. Some of them are like a hard hour. Some of them meet once a week. Some of them meet once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe talk about how you made some of those decisions to how to kind of build your chapter and what type of form it took.
Yeah, I mean, it was good to start off slow, just like a CrossFit gym. Everything that we do is very similar to how everything's originated in our sport. And so it's like, you know, you'd usually start small in a CrossFit gym and then slowly build over time because that's manageable. Same thing with Faith RX. It's like we started going once a month. And so it was very easy for people to go, hey, there's that event again. They saw it more as like a special fun thing. Now we do it every other week on Friday nights. 8 p.m., everybody knows it's happening. Every other week, you just show up. And so it's very easy for people to kind of get used to and put that into their daily lives. However, we don't want FaithRx to replace church. Like, we want people that, you know, if it's supposed to be a bridge. It's a bridge to help our friends in the church community get their butts in shape. And so that's awesome. And it's also a bridge to get the CrossFitters that maybe haven't been in a church in 10 years feel comfortable enough to enter a situation that's fun, you know, manageable. It's not uncomfortable. You're not being preached to. However, you know, we're going to talk about the Bible and we're going to talk about Jesus and who he is and who he was and who he always will be. And it's an awesome opportunity to just talk about real truth.
Yeah, that's very cool. That's very cool. I'm excited because I know that in about an hour or so, we're all going to sit down and be able to talk to a bunch of people here at Wadapalooza, mm-hmm. which is another unique opportunity. So it's very cool how you guys are doing like these local ministries, and then you guys are kind of, you know, Becky and her team, and you guys are all like making ways to make inroads in other places where there's a lot of people who are into fitness.
Including Iron Sharpens Iron in Sacramento in a couple of weeks, right?
Yep.
Tell us more.
Yeah, so Iron Sharpens Iron in a couple of weeks at my gym, actually. So that was like a kind of spawned out of your interview with Becky,
right?
And talking with her, and
she's like, "We're going to come to Sacramento and host an Iron Sharpens Iron at Ben Alderman's gym because he's a leader in the community and he's faith driven and he's going to do this."
Which is just funny for me to hear. I don't always think of myself as like a leader in the community.
You
know what I mean? Because
both are.
Yeah, it just, you know, do you think of leaders in the community as being games athletes, right? And it's like
they're not the only leaders. They're not the only names.
Yeah, having never been there, but you know, you have certain principles and you stick by them, and you have a certain integrity, and then people kind of get to know you for that.
It was the I am second shirt when you hang snatch 290.
Yeah, the I am second shirt.
Definitely 290. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
that was that.
What does I am second
waves.
Mean? I'm looking it up.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you should. That's what people did. Right?
That's what people did.
And what does that mean to you?
That was dope. Well, they said, I'm not first, right? My priorities aren't first. It was that God was first. And so no matter what I hang snatch, that was the most important thing. I think that I'm really excited. You remember the fake wall. I'm really excited about everybody coming to Iron Sharpens Iron in Sacramento. You know, just talking to you, I was like, you know, maybe we'll figure out hotel rooms or whatever. And you're like, hey, I'd rather just sleep on your floor and, you know,
would.
All of us stay together. And
family time.
Yeah, have family time. And that's cool because that's what we like to do. I mean,
that's kind of what you guys do with everybody that comes to town.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Sam Briggs is stay at the house. Lindsay Valenzuela stay at the house. And they just like, Miranda stay at the house. Like, it's just like people come through. I mean, the first time you came, you just kicked off your shoes and laid on my couch. And it's like, hey, that's all good, man.
The guy jumped on your couch.
Yeah, you jumped on my couch. So you don't seem 190 until you jump on my couch. So you seem a lot smaller.
Just like that's one awesome. Of your eight-year-olds.
Yeah, exactly. So speaking of which, my kids are sleeping on the floor right now, so they might be jumping in with you guys. I don't know.
Sleeping bags.
How many of these Iron Sharpens Irons have you done personally?
Nine. Okay. So we're coming up on our 12th one. And so I've been, I missed the first few and have been on ever since. And honestly, it's really changed my faith. And people think, oh, maybe she's always been like this. Maybe she's always been a strong Christian. And I would say, yes, I have always been a believer. And I did go to church all through college, which actually was rare. Like my friends that went in high school, they kind of stopped once we could choose. And so that was different. And I felt like I always had some values that were important to me. But I don't think I did a good job at letting God lead everywhere in my life. I think I just said, all right, Sundays are for that. And I'm a CrossFitter, so this is what I do every other day.
Sure.
And now it's been very freeing to experience being able to mix both and combine and see how God can actually help us, you know, use his strength to do what our missions are here on earth. And also, within that, you know, keeping God out of my finances was a mistake. Keeping God out of my fitness was a mistake. Now I'm able to invite God into the very most important parts of my life, which I was maybe kind of going, hey, you're for church, like stay out. And now I'm like, hey, you're like everything to me. So you're involved everywhere. Mm-hmm. So it's been really cool. And honestly, I have never done ministry before in my life. And I don't think if I hadn't crossed paths with Becky Konzelman, that anyone would have ever looked at me and gone, you know what? I trust you. I think that you could be something in faith. I think that you could represent Christ in a way that, you know, people will listen to you and you could really talk about it. But first, she knew that she needed to equip me. And being equipped, it takes a long time. She mentored me for 2.5 years to basically teach me, okay, this is how you read. This is how you do scripture. This is how you pray. This is how you have a relationship with God and not just have religion. And so it's been an amazing process to kind of go, I was trusted, and then it forced me to grow. I didn't have a choice. I was like, I better grow in my faith because now I'm going to be talking to people about it, and I need to know what I'm talking about. And right. So, I mean, it's just been a really cool process. So,
I mean, can you just talk, go into a little bit deeper, that maturation process of you? Because I feel like when you came onto the scene in CrossFit, the persona that you had versus the persona that you have now?
Opposite.
Yeah, they're totally different, right? And I love seeing it, you know what I mean? You still have, like, this beaming personality, which is great, you know what I mean? But it's like, what was the tipping point, maybe, or the transformation?
You know what? I've seen, there's this, a few times where I got pointed out something where I noticed that there was a difference. And I kind of was able to look back at my old self and be like, wow, I have changed. Like, that's so cool to see that God's worked on my heart. Because in CrossFit, we go back and we compare our old times and our old workouts and we redo workouts and we go, man, I am fitter. The board says I'm fitter. Like, this time, the clock, everything is confirming that I actually am better. And that's the same thing you can do with your faith. Same concept. And so for me, I would say one of the most recent examples was I was at an Iron Sharpened Iron camp. And me and Becky, we go back and forth on this little talk, and it's the athlete mindset. So it's basically how to invite God into those moments of your life and how to trust in whatever happens. That's the outcome, even if it's hard to handle. And even if I didn't make it to the games year after year but came very, very close, why am I having this? And sometimes it's like, okay, God actually planned on you being the person that can relate and not the person that can be on the podium. And right now, that's your story. And that's what you were meant to tell. And you are right now in the place where you actually are meant to be. This is not a coincidence, not an accident. This is on purpose, and you're created on purpose. So it was just really cool to kind of get that. And I have a speech where I kind of go into my comparison habits on I'm comparing myself to this person or this athlete or this Instagram post or whatever. And I've naturally always given that talk at the camps. And as I'm giving the talk the last time, Becky goes, oh, well, you know what? You're much better at that now. And I'm like, oh, so I was kind of identifying with the way I used to feel instead of speaking from a place I actually feel now. And then I said something else about, you know, kind of doing things for the wrong reason or maybe kind of trying to be selfish or prideful or taking my training too seriously and not going, hey, you know what? I get to work out every day. That's amazing. And, you know, Becky goes, you know what? You are more grateful. Like, I kind of see a difference. Like, you don't really struggle with that anymore. I'm like, man, you're ready. You know what? I'm feeling some freedom right now. Heck yeah. That's like me going PR, yeah. PR. And so that was one example. And then the second one was, I actually would love if she heard this story because I haven't been able to open up with her about this, but Lauren Fisher, love her. When I first started CrossFit, I was very competitive with anyone. It doesn't matter who you were. I was like, hey, I'm set on being the best, getting a good score in the open. I was obsessed with the open. I wanted to, you know, even go into the regionals with a really high score, you know, placing me so I could be the last heat. All this stuff was so important to me, and it's really all that mattered. And then I was like almost to the point where I was so focused at competitions, I was not friendly. I was not approachable. I was this athlete that I wouldn't even recognize today. I'm like, man, I was so consumed. And I think it's so good to have your set of mind, your mind frame, where you can do both. You can be the same person you are all the time. Just because you're competing, you shouldn't be this animal, you know? And I guess when she came on the scene, I was like, whoa, that girl's super young and she's super good. And I remember the first time we ever met, I was like with Garrett and her, and I instantly judged her. I was like, man, she kind of seems entitled. I don't like her. That was like my first response. And I'm like, that's such a ridiculous first impression. I didn't even try to get to know her. And that's real. Like, I'm being real with you guys and the people that hear this. I hope they don't judge me for that because I mess up too. Okay. But now years have happened and, you know, I've seen her many times and I've never gotten to sit down with her. I love sitting down and enjoying the relationships and celebrating the friendships we've built in CrossFit. That's like my favorite thing, is to be able to give back and pour into my friends and go, hey, you did awesome in that workout. You rock. I'm not a super fan. I'm your friend. But like, hey, I want to support you, you know? And so she came to visit in New York, and it was only a few months ago, and she's going through an injury. And she just had surgery, and I was...
Just a couple months ago?
Yeah.
Now?
Just now, yeah. And so she's got surgery on her ankle, her Achilles, so she's coming back from that. And I instantly, instead of looking at her, I was like, oh, she's a competitor of mine. I'm like, this is a girl that I love. Like, I'm like, how do I love this girl today? And I'm just like, I just was so excited to see her. Got to hang out and really spend quality time. She's rowing. I got to ask her, hey, how'd your rowing work out? She's like, you know, I'm, you know, having trouble with flexion and this. And she's just talking. Like, athletes want to be known and heard, just like any other person in the world. We want to be known. And like, you know that saying, it's so cheesy, but I am cheesy, is like, to be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be heard, or to be loved is to be known. And like, you can't just kind of see someone on Instagram and love them. That's not a relationship. Like, anyways, we got to train together, spent a great day together. Afterwards, me and my friend that was 21, they're the same age. My friend Taylor that was with me, we all three went to go get something to eat afterwards, and we got to talk about real life stuff. And instead of just being this athlete that wants to compete against her or something, or, man, you clean and drink more than me, who cares, okay? Right. I got to be like, hey, what are you doing with your life? How's college? How's your boyfriend? Right. Oh, you guys are going to do long distance. Well, I have some advice for you. I've done it. Right. You know, and it's like, we got to do real life stuff. And that was amazing, because I walked away and I'm like, that was really cool. Why was that so cool? And I'm like, oh, because I've never done that before. And here I am, and I can look at it as a mature adult in the sport and go, I am not CrossFit. I can be so many other things, but CrossFit's very special to me, and I can relate to people on it. So
I mean, I think you hit the you got to the right word there, which is like maturity. And I think athletes go through a process like that, you know. And we've talked about that with other athletes that have been around, you know, 10 plus years in CrossFit. Mm-hmm. And they see, yeah, these kids coming in, they don't get it. It's all about what pictures they're going to post, and they don't actually try to engage with the community. And it's like, it's because they're kids. You know, and like you have to go, have to go through that growth process, just the same way, like you mentioned, going through your growth process with your faith or with your business. Like, you learn from your mistakes, and you keep continue to grow. And if you're going to be successful, you have to grow the right direction. Right.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to like transition the conversation back to your Eggerbomb seminars and everything, because what you said before about how you're meant to be here, it's not a coincidence, it's not an accident. I feel like in business, it's a lot of, you have to make conscious decisions all the time. So how do you reconcile, or how do you know when your conscious decision is actually, you know, God speaking through you, or if it's you forcing the issue? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's kind of like it's like a tough gray area there.
It is. And I would say that there's a process that goes into making any decision. And my first process is, you know, anybody can meditate or just think and just let themselves be still and be quiet. And I think people can really gain a lot from that. But I don't think people do it enough. And as an athlete, you need to know, okay, what's my purpose here? What are my intentions? And for me, that's praying. For me, I'm like, hey, be still and let God be God. And like, if he's speaking to me and he's pointing me in a direction, I can't hear that if I'm being loud and chaotic and Snapchatting all day. But I can hear it if I take a break and go, you know what? This is an important decision. I can fast for it, because let me tell you, if I'm hungry, I'm getting down to the point. I'm like, all right, is this right or not? Like, let me stop my life real quick and figure this out. And so it could be fasting. It could be just in prayer. It could be time to just really resonate and go, you know what? Is this where I want my future? And am I having the right motives? Is the motive to elevate me and my brand and what I am and how selfish I can be? Or is the motive to actually go out there and help people? Is it to help people and really, you know, I think people think, oh, I want to be an inspiration. Well, being a fitness inspiration is easy. You post pictures, okay? But if you actually want to motivate people to get up and do something with their lives, it has to go further than being an inspiration. Because inspiration still just sit on the couch. But motivating someone is something totally different. And that's like, hey, I'm relating to you. I've been through it. I'm not perfect. What you see is absolutely a highlight reel of my life. And the times when I went through hardships and trials, I just kept going. And that's the only reason I am where I am. The only reason. It's not because it was given to me, and it's not because it was easy, because a lot of it was really hard.
So when you're being still and you're going through these thoughts, questioning yourself or like fasting or whatever, is it just a gut feeling that tells you what's right?
Yes, and that word is conviction. It's a conviction on your heart that's like, okay, you know what? I feel like I believe this was God, from God. This was divine. For me, those points in my life are very simple. Like when I was going to move to New York, Christian Harris was like, hey, you know, maybe Andrew would go team. He's telling his coach. I'm like, oh, no, I'm not. I had already started being that long-distance relationship. I got a job within the same week. So December 15th, I'm like, all right, I got to be there by January 1st. All three of these things have wound themselves in the same week. I have to believe that this is God. This is very simple. I'm not creating this for myself. This is meant to be. And so went for it. That is scary. Anytime you take a leap of faith, that is terrifying. But in my seminars, I try to tell as much of my story as I can and be relatable to people and tell them, hey, this isn't about me. This is about your dreams. This is where you want to end up. This is, hey, you want a house or a car or a relationship or a job opportunity that you want to work out? How can you get there? Well, you're worthy of your dreams. Because a lot of times we tell ourselves, nope, that's too far from me. That's too expensive. I'll never make it. But those are doubts in your mind that are only going to hold you back. And the enemy wants to hold you back from your dreams. The enemy doesn't want me to stand up here and talk to you guys and glorify God. The enemy wants me to tell myself that I am not good enough, that I'm not fast enough, that I'm never going to be what I want to be. And that's not true. That's not the plan that God has for me. It's not true at all. And so I have to remind myself every day of truth. I have to be in the Word. I have to be focusing on positive things that are going to keep me out of trouble, out of selfishness, out of, you know? So, I mean, I guess the long version of that is, how do you know that a decision is made, you know, and that you're meant to do that? And it's a very, very, very strong feeling. I think that too many people, you know, act on things, just go for it. Or too many things, people wait back and go, that's for someone else. That dream is for someone else. And for my mom, it was traveling. My mom and dad have never traveled. They've never left Colorado. And so for them, having a daughter like me, it terrified them. They're like, oh my gosh, like I can't believe Andrea's like this. She's always gone. She's lived in four different states. She's so dangerous. She goes and gets picked up by strangers at CrossFit gyms in Mexico. And like, they're so hilarious. And I'm like, you guys, it's fine. So they're used to it now. But for my mom, for her to start traveling to watch me compete in CrossFit, that was scary for her. That was terrifying. That was like, no, this is for someone else. I'm supposed to live in Colorado and never leave. And through, you know, growing and being like, all right, leap of faith, I'm going to go watch Andrea at regionals. I'm going to watch Andrea be on Grid in New York City. Those are things she got to experience things she never would have been able to, because she got to go, hey, fear, shut up, okay? You don't own me and you don't control me. I'm going to go do this. And so I want to empower people to do that. And with my seminars, speaking for me is a huge part of it. And yes, I can teach a lot of things well, and I would believe I'm a better coach than an athlete by far. But I don't go there to coach. I go there to life coach. I go there to talk to people and get to know them. And when you come to a seminar of mine, I believe that a lot of people in CrossFit can teach you how to snatch and teach you how to clean and jerk, and so can I. But there's not going to be anything that's going to be really, really special about that for me. I want the experience. And so right now I'm working on a workshop. It's a totally different business model. I have a team of people that have really been helping me with registrations and ideas and pricing and just kind of making it professional and making me feel like I can understand the process of marketing and business. When I went to school to be an athlete, I went to school to run track and field. I'm an exercise science major. I don't naturally know all of these words and all these, you know, ideas, and it's hard for me, but I'm learning. And for me, like, the workshops have been really cool because they're local. So I'm trying to give back to the community I live in New York City. And they're only 3 hours. So my normal seminars are 7, and then the workshops are 3. It's a different pricing model, and they've been very successful. And so they're mostly word of mouth, and it's been so cool to kind of go, hey, you live, you know, your box is 3 miles from me, but I've never been there because it takes me 45 minutes because it's New York. And so, you know, it's given me a reason to go visit these gyms and spend time with them. And my boyfriend's involved as well and goes with me to way too many Acre Bomb seminars. He could basically give my muscle up teachings. He makes fun of me all the time. I'm like, fine, you give the seminar, do it. But it's been a really cool process.
Honey, they're not here to see me.
They may not sell out.
They might not sell out. He loves the supporting girl.
Well, you're like this magnetic ball of energy. Like, you just are I mean, I can only imagine you could easily fill 3 hours or 7 hours. You know what I mean? Like, we could talk to you for a while. But if people want to either host a seminar or, you know, get you to their gym, if that's a possibility, how do they do that?
Okay, the website is www.andreaegger.com. Not tough, okay, to memorize.
It's pretty confusing.
Please go there.
That is very confusing.
And
Andrea Egger, how'd you come up with that one?
Actually, for a while, it was the Andrea Egger, which makes me sound really pontious. But actually, it was because someone had stolen Andrea Egger, and I had to buy that from them anyways. But, yeah, so you go on there. You make a request for your gym. I would email you back, and we would talk about, you know, why you want it, when you can have it, what your schedule's like, and we'd be able to go through that process. Or you can email me at seminars@eggerbomb.com.
Nice. That rhymes well.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And they want to follow you on Instagram?
At @Eager_bomb.
Perfect. Perfect.
Thank you guys so much for helping me on the show and just letting me talk to you guys.
Yeah.
And
this is great. This is what, about a year and a half since we had you on before. And so it's nice to kind of catch up and see where you're going, how far you've come. We miss having you in Colorado. Because it's a little shorter drive than going to New York. But anyways, you guys, make sure you are following us on Instagram, BTB Podcast, Facebook, same address. Go to iTunes, download this and all our episodes. Subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating. We'll have a lot more with giants of the industry like Andrea Egger. Thank you very much.
Thank you.